Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Asking all the masses to live up, live good, and they're gonna live up.
Oh, how thrilling it would be for living all together in harmony. To exercise a little more love and harmony. Stressful days and sleepless nights, war in every corner, few gunfight. What is now becoming of our black human race? Where is your side? Let's go be full of all that sweet divine. Towns, brick by brick, we're gonna tear them down. All obstacles, all evil powers standing in our way. Put away all 16s and my 10s. Let's get out on our knees, yes, my friends, and look up to the east from whence cometh our head. Let's do it for love, for that sweet divine glow. Them a while and then don't realize that this time we're living in this civilized. Preacher man, could I preach it? Little more singers and DJs teach it. Little more Rasta man been chanting Babylon long before. Let's do it for love, for that sweet divine glow. Story come out of mom, where you gonna hide? Now your evil bolt has capsized. See them run into the rock for a place to hide. Tell me, how did you do it, Mr. Man? Can you tell me the secret, wicked man? So we can try to counteract it and save our black nation. Let's do it for love, for that sweet divine glow. Oh yeah. Together in harmony, to exercise a little more love and harmony. Stressful days and sleepless nights, war in every corner, pure gunfight. What is now becoming of our black human race? Where is your side?
That was some bashment, man. Do It For Love. Yeah, I heard that stuff while I was in the UK. Beautiful song, man. And, yeah, it just, that's just downright where it's at. But, welcome to When Pigs Fly, and this is Andrew Fetter. And I apologize for last week. We had some minor difficulty, technical difficulty, where we couldn't get streamed up, so I lost my contact of our interview with Dr. Hash, but that has been moved up again to August 13th, I'm looking forward to that. That should be an imperative show to see, dealing with sciences versus, and with, I shouldn't say verse, because they're one and the same, with spirituality. He's an infamous, or not infamous, but a famous professor and astrophysicist, and he's of wrote of God theory and as such. But do check that out, August 13th. I'll remind you all. And also, I know people have been asking me about my book, Spirit of Late. And I've been going doing several book signing events. And I will be doing a couple in Southern California that have already been set up. One is actually on August 7th at 1 p.m. in Oxnard. And that's in the Oxnard Borders, 241 West Esplanade, I guess, or Esplanade, or how that's pronounced. Esplanade Drive, Oxnard. That's the Borders, and that's August 7th at 1 p.m. That's a Saturday. And then August...
Hello?
In Riverside, California.
I'm losing you.
Riverside. Now, I have a very, very special guest. I've had him once a couple times before. He is a real contactee of the Orions, Phil Kaseski, and it is a pleasure and honor once again to have him on my show and discuss what his new updates and new information, what he has been disclosed by his Orion colleague. And I welcome Phil Kaseski. How you doing, Phil?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks. Good.
Good. Everything okay out there in Orange County? I always think of Orange County. I think Orange County near LA, but Orange County, New York. Now, a lot of people who haven't heard my past shows may not know of your relationship and how you came about in your contact with your Orion colleague. And I believe she is from Ladies or Ladies or how to pronounce that or
Latus or Latus, yep.
And could you briefly tell us how you first came about in contact with her and the background behind that? And then I know we're going to start delving into some a plethora of questions and Q&A and disclosures that
sure.
you have.
Sure. Well, this actually has been going on for decades. I've found out she's recently told me that she's been tracking me for like 30 years. And she's actually saved me several times in her tracking of me. But anyway, as far as the physical contact goes and seeing her ship and having sightings, this all began for me back in 2007 in July and August, when I came back out here to Pine Bush, New York, and started seeing her ship, and she brought it in close, and I videoed it, filmed it. These are triangular craft, and it was like a day, several days later, after I had filmed her ship, I was in a state of deep meditation, and all of a sudden, I got words into my mind. I got some communication. I heard a female voice inside my mind giving me these words, telling me her name, telling me she was from Orion, telling me that the craft that I had seen the previous few nights past was actually her craft. And she just introduced herself to me, told me who she was, where she was from, what they were doing here. And they are from Orion, and they call the star Letus. It's near one of the belt. It's near the three main belt stars in Orion. They've been here in Orange County for decades, and they have an underground base here. And a lot of their work, what they're doing here is like research, all kinds of things like this, and.
Now, you mentioned that they're Oxicarian race. With, how am I going to pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, and they call themselves in their Orion language Oxicarian. or oxycares, and oxycarin.
In your description of them, they're very more human-like, not grays or some reptilians, just very human-like.
Yeah, they're just like us. A little bit, their eyes are a little more oval, a little more cat-like. They look like they're more round, more oval-shaped. And the females tend to have more flaxen, white, blonde hair. Kind of flaxen white blondes. There's a few brunettes in there. She's recently been telling me how agile their bodies are and how they can fall from great distances and not get injured.
How tall are they about? They're the same height
average,
as us.
Yeah, about average human size.
Yeah. And have you physically seen them, or is this done through meditation, your contact?
I have physically seen my contact, the girl who's contacted me from this Orion girl. Her name is Abena. I have physically seen her once. I've been with her astrally several times. A lot of times she initiates contact that way, and I'll see her in the astral state.
So both astral state and you have physically seen her. So then
I have physically seen her once.
Yeah. Now on the physical form, I know I'm jumping here, but you had mentioned before that and being around them because of their high frequency of energy around them, you have to prepare yourself almost like your frequency or your through meditation so that you can physically handle being near them because of their high frequency. Is that correct?
That's very correct. They have an instant repulsion to the majority of Earth human thoughts and feelings, because their feelings and thoughts are already like many, many light years ahead of ours, and they're like, it's like a repulsion, a natural gravitational gravity, anti-magnetic repulsion. And so they're like instantly repulsed by a vibration that's not almost up to theirs. I mean, they can modulate theirs down to a level where they can be around us, but not for very long. I mean, they have to be very careful and very concentrated with their vibration, with their thoughts and everything like that, because it can cause them to lose control of their emotions. Their emotions are very, very intense, and if their emotions are not kept under really strict control through the thoughts, they can break out. I mean, they have control of them, but because of their higher development mentally, their emotional state is very intense and can be quite, they can get quite disturbed sometimes.
Sounds almost Vulcan-like, and it's not to sound Star Trek-y, but it sounds almost Vulcan-like. Let me ask you this. Now, they've contacted you, and have they also been through contact with other people around, either through astral state or physically around the world?
They haven't. This particular alien race, I haven't really asked them yet if they have contacted many others. They have contacted some members of a black ops group called the Brigade. It's kind of a universal black ops corps of elite type of people, consisting of military personnel, physicists, things like that. And occasionally they get in touch with them, or the Brigade gets in touch with them for certain things.
And is that we're here, don't screw with us, basically? Or is it more, what reason why they would be dealing with these black ops?
Both. It's actually both of those. And it's maybe 10% for technology type things. I mean, my contact told me they, I'm sorry. Go on.
So it's a, sort of like a semi-exchange.
Yeah, but it's very minimal. We, the Orions, they're not just handing them everything on a silver platter. They're making them work and do the research themselves for certain things. They're not just giving them over everything.
Okay, and then what of, so they're basically, now what about through any other extraterrestrials besides the Orions, whether it's Palladians or others that I've heard that have been in this area, in this realm?
Oh, very interesting you mentioned that. Yeah, go on.
But and I know there's some that have been, you would maybe call them more on the negative side, which have, I think they're, from what I heard, are being displaced pretty much as a more positive.
My contact, Abena, recently, just they were attacked. She told me one night we were having a contact. They were being attacked by a fleet of 27 craft from the Orions. They were Orions, but they were reptilians from Rigel, the star Rigel. And they were being attacked over here in Orange County. It was actually in Africa. I'm sorry. She told me it was in Africa, and she had to fly out. One night I was filming. I thought it was her reconnaissance craft that I was filming. And she later told me that the craft that I had, that thought was hers, her reconnaissance craft, really wasn't. She told me it was an Exenia Orion battleship called Exenia, and they were flying off. It was a battleship. They were flying off to Africa to confront these reptilians from Rigel that were doing something over in. They were harassing one of their colonies over there in Africa, a base they have. And so they had to fly.
So there is a confrontation between certain groups of extraterrestrials as opposed to certain other ones, you're saying?
Exactly. They're not friends. She warned me about these Orion reptilians from Rigel. She told me they're cannibalistic towards humans, and they're very dangerous, and they're traitors. And she told me their physical anatomy to some extent. She said they have two hearts, and they have a large liver. And she told me some other things about them, but she told me they destroyed that fleet of 27 that was coming out to harass their people over there in Africa, in one of their colonies.
What about other extraterrestrials of positive, we call them positive or light or whatever, like Pallades or whatever areas?
There's a wonderful alliance. In fact, Abena has told me that, I'm sorry, what?
Because I've heard there's like a federation, that's what I've heard, some sort of...
Exactly. And she told me there's like thousands of planets involved, thousands of people. And she told me, incidentally, that she comes from a mixed marriage. And I never knew this before. I thought she was fully Orion, but she told me she's half Pleiadian now. And she was originally born on the Era, the same planet that Billy Meyer's Pleiadians come from. And that she comes from a mixed, her father was half Orion, and her mother was Pleiadian. And she was actually, and her father and mother lived on Orion. I mean, lived on Era in the Pleiades. And this was all new to me because I never knew it before until she instructed me about it and told me. And she said that many of the Orions will do that. They're intermarry. But she chooses to live back on Orion after, you know, they get born and stuff like that. Many of them will go back to Orion. They feel more of a calling to Orion. So Abena, my contact, told me that that's what happened with her. She chooses to live in the Orion constellation instead of Era in the Pleiades. But she goes back to her family and visits quite often. And,
Is where she's from, as she's disclosed to you, that it's as far as physical attributes, is it sort of...
The planet. She told me the planet, the name they call it is Sektu, S-E-K-T-U, and she told me that they live underwater.
Well, some things are happening there out there, huh? Anyway, as we were talking, you were referring to they are basically you were talking about Abina being of mixed race and the
half Pleiadian and half Orion.
And that, but my wondering is, you're not aware of any physical contact with other of their of her of any of the Orions of her kind or Pleiades, physical or spiritual connection with any other of anybody within humanity.
Contact? I haven't really asked her too much about that yet.
Okay.
I will.
Yeah, because it seems like there's a lot of information that's being reiterated that seems too much commonality. That's almost like they're like dropping in information, disclosing stuff almost simultaneously. To me, it's pretty strange, but it's pretty. And it's not. This doesn't seem like the first time. And it's like coincidental, you know, that it's all happening at the same time.
Sure.
So my question is to in your contact with your information with her. She's been also obviously flying around and she's got now a new ship, I understand. Actually, everybody, if you see that post, I guess that's the newest of her spacecraft that she has. But she does utilize her methodology, or their I guess, what is the best word? The technology that they move around. You were making, it's like a plasma-like effect when they travel their spacecraft. Because when you look at it, it looks sort of like, almost like liquid when it moves. That's what the plasma inference, it seems like, or something. Almost like.
Yeah. She told me they're utilizing a tachyon core, which runs on plasma, which they get the plasma from the center of the Earth, and they get it from stars. They get it from the core of stars, she told me. A lot of the plasma, they're able to get it. And they can fill their, she told me the name of the sphere inside the ship. It's like a little sphere that they fill up with this plasma. And when they fill that sphere, I think she told me, it's called an exocon sphere or something like that. Exocon. Exicon. Exicon. It's a sphere. They fill it. And she told me that the ship can run on it for 45 years after they fill it with the plasma. But anyway, they will generate the tachyons and they modulate those things, and when they want to warp and go faster than light and jump from here to the Pleiades in like 3 minutes, I mean, she told me it only took her like 3 minutes to get from Earth to the Pleiades just about a month ago when she had to do some traveling there. When
so
she
basically, well, if they go faster than speed light, they're actually bending space and going through wormholes.
Exactly. Exactly, bending space and time, cutting it right down, and they just jump, hyper jumps, hyper leap jumps, and it's way over my head because I haven't actually gone on a ride yet. That's in the works. That's what I'm preparing for, and she's promised me to take me and everything like that. So that's what's coming up down the line here.
And let me get you, because I know that would be a trip in itself. I'm going to have you back after you get you go on your ride, so to speak. That would be extraordinary.
Yeah.
When did she propose that you're going to probably be going on this flight with her?
Maybe several months.
Wow. So
this was a month ago that she said that, too, so maybe 2 months, 3 months, I don't know, something like that.
Wow. That's pretty good. Now, is there a preparation that she's been telling you have to prepare for this flight?
Well, she told me I already meet all the requirements since we've had contact, and she's been teaching me in the protocol, but now she has to just educate me on the code, their code, so I don't break it, she told me. And it's a code that, you know, everybody that they live by. It's kind of like the military. They're kind of like in the military almost themselves, you know. It's that kind of discipline amongst the spacefaring race, you know. And so they have a code, and she wants to has to educate me in that. She hasn't educated me in that yet. So once that's pushed and I understand it and I'm willing to abide by it to their satisfaction, then that will be, then they will decide the time and the place that,
That's like extraordinary. So what's the protocol that you had to go through?
Well, the protocol basically was, 4 points, and that those consisted of raising your brainwave frequency into the alpha, at the alpha state, more into the alpha state, relaxing it actually, not raising it. It's more like relaxing it, because slowing down your brainwaves. You see, they're very relaxed people. They're not as high strung as we are down here on Earth. We're more in the beta state of consciousness all the time. And you have to be, you know, to make a living and everything like that, but you can incorporate the slower brainwave states into everyday, like, physical conscious, your physical state, your beta state. You can incorporate or mix more of the alpha and the theta to give you a more peaceful and more serene day-to-day existence. And
so
she told me they...
So what
she told,
is to raise your vibration, your frequency, and your into the alpha state? What was 2, 3, and 4?
2, 3, and 4. Yes. Let me see if I remember here. 2, 3, and 4. Yeah. One was the desire to injure others, to be mean. Things like this had to be eradicated. Had to be studied to see why it's bad. You know, challenge breeds challenge. That's anybody that, you know, wants a challenge is going to get a challenge. You attract what you put out. So becoming neutral, attaining like a neutral mental balance and your thoughts being neutral towards all things and creatures as much as possible in that, transcendental state of love, supreme love, which just knows no boundaries and knows no crazy emotions.
Sort of like unconditional love for all things in the universe.
More, I mean, they understand love as more as like a supreme power. It's incredibly powerful. Love is incredibly powerful. It holds everything together. And not the kind of sentimental, emotional love that comes just from the physical state, but it's the supreme love to them is something that they try to dwell in all the time because it holds everything together, she was telling me. It's like it holds everything's held together by it. And 1 minute without it, everything would fall to pieces. Everything would disperse.
So that's basically what it almost like, sounds like just like universal love and connecting with all things.
Exactly. It's that's why death sets in.
Basically, it's realization that we're all of the same universe, of the same within the universe. You know, get changing the perception that we're separate. Basically,
yep.
Which is actually illogical. So then, what is the third and fourth?
Yeah, the third and the fourth. Let me think here. It's been so long since I looked at it. I've been concentrating on so many other things right now. Yeah.
It's probably like brushing your teeth now, then.
Yeah, I should know it right off.
After a while, people ask me if you do certain things, like going out. I don't even think about it. Like, you know, bubbling up or doing certain things. And metaphysically, after a while, it's like brushing your teeth. You go, oh, wow. I didn't even realize I put the toothpaste on my toothbrush when I brushed my teeth this morning. You know, that it's like almost a... you know, you're already a habit as opposed to practice.
Yeah.
Basically, you're, yeah. But so you don't recall what the third or fourth is right now, or?
I think I gave you the fourth and the third, and I'm trying to get work on the second and the first here. I'm trying to bring it up because I honestly forgot the first and second points on it right away. I know that sounds lame. I know that sounds really lame, but I haven't.
It's fine. I think it was.
I should know it.
But it's okay. I think it was a
skull. I will find it here. I'm trying to pull it up because I do have it written down, all categorized here. But anyway, you can move on to something else until I get it.
I want to. What I also want to know is, they've been here for, I guess, thousands of years, and I know in the past show that you have discussed their connection with pyramids and Egypt and different areas around the world. My question to you, because I've noticed a similar pattern, having met with the Hopi and speaking with them and some of their prophecies and some of their things, and also when I was in the UK seeing Stonehenge and my familiarities, and in Israel, the many things that the Kabbalism and the Suri Islam and Taoist, and they seem to be a very common, Druids seem to be a commonality, and I was just curious that if the Orions and the Pleiades and others have been, you know, just this, you know, in recent events, but it seems like thousands of years have been around. Is that what they've disclosed to you, that they have been within those, why there's so much common information that is disclosed to humanity in past as well as present?
It's because, what, they've been, because they've been disseminating it.
Yeah, like I said, they've been an influence within Egypt, with the Israelites, the Hopi, the Druids, the Taoists, and China, the Buddhism. And so
they've influenced all the different cultures. I mean, the major ones, especially Egypt. I mean, that, in particular, Abena told me that it was their ancestors who had actually built the Great Pyramids back around 15,000 years ago. They started them, and it took 1,000 years or so to build them. And I said, that sounds too long for you. I mean, you had so much high technology. She said, yeah, we had technology, but we were not as advanced as we are now back then. She said, and the morale of our workers was rather low back then. That's why it took longer for them to build it. They did build them with high tech. They had high, like laser cutting tools and things like that to cut the rock on the pyramids exactly, and then they raised them anti-gravitationally. They raised those stones and set them. But the main thing, as she told me, is that when the new era begins, which is probably going to be 2012, the Great Pyramid of Giza is going to emit a beam. And when that happens, it signifies the total alignment of the Earth, and there's going to be a pole shift. The pole shift is already happening. The Earth is already, we talked about this before, the Earth's axis is slipping, and it's slipped many degrees since even over 10 years. I mean, I used to locate True Magnetic North out, and it used to be out towards Iceland in the northeast, and now it's out towards Alaska, and it's slipping even more to the west. So another few years, it's probably going to be down towards Thailand. Everything's turning upside down, man. And she told me there's going to be a new ice age when all this happens, too. There's going to be new, there's going to be cold, lots of cold snaps and freak storms. Earthquakes are going to rise. But the Great Pyramid...
It's happening, actually.
Yeah, the Great Pyramids were built by them as a beacon also, to Orion, and she told me they built the Sphinx also as a tribute to the Creator, because it's a lot of the symbolism inside the Sphinx has to do with the attributes of the Creator, which she told me about that. And they do believe in the Creator, one God, eternal. And,
so they... What's their relationship with, do you know any relationship they've had with, let's say, the Hopi or Druids or Jews?
They haven't, no, she hasn't told me that about, too much about that yet. We haven't gotten too much about religion. She briefly started telling me about Jesus and, she gave me a little bit. I'm really interested in hearing more on what she's going to say about that in the future so I can reveal it. But, It's pretty interesting what she told me. She told me the differences between why Muslims can't believe Christianity is because they don't believe that Allah could sire a literal son. And then she also had some harsh words for Christianity, saying that, you know, a lot of, you know, Christians think that God had begotten Jesus, which just isn't true. They have this idea that God is a man, and she said that's not true.
Well,
that God is not.
Well, yeah. The problem is they personify God, and
right.
God, in the reality, God is everything. We're all everything. We're all God.
Well, the Christians. The problem with the Christians is that they take things too literally. It's not all of them. I'm not speaking for every Christian, but a lot of Christians just take the Bible just totally literal, so they think that, oh, God made man in his image, so that means God
is
a man.
Right.
But then it turns around in the Torah, all you have to do is turn around what Moses read and told the Israelites. He said, don't think God is a man, because God is not a man. You didn't see a man or an image or a form on the mountain when he burned and gave the law.
Right,
burned the fire, his finger into the Torah and gave the Israelites the law. He didn't, you know.
Yeah, it goes with Adam and Eve. Actually, we're not from Adam and Eve. It's just that it's showing the relation between humanity with nature and the universe is really what that is. But not to delve too much in that, because I want to get into the...
Oh, I found the other two protocols.
Okay, cool.
Sorry
about putting you on the spot.
No, it's all right. I just know it's
important for humanity, because what you're talking about, two issues, and another two, three, and four, I think it should be disclosed to all humanity.
I gave point number two, the brainwave resonance must be slowed down. We already discussed that. And the other one, point four, desire to injure, mean, and ridicule and harm others has to go. It has to be eradicated. We have to put it out.
Right.
We have to deny it. We have to do whatever we can. Meditate, call on a savior, whatever it is that will help you get rid of it, because it has to go. Because if you have that kind of desire in you to be mean, ridicule, injure, some people are like that. They're wicked and they're evil, and they desire to harm others and play games and, you know, stuff like that. Well, whoever's like that, you can just bank on never having contact with extraterrestrials, because they just don't want to be around people like that at all.
Unless it's the reptilian kind.
Yeah, they can go join them and go munch on some cows.
Well, that's why that, because I've heard rumors that they've actually the reptilians are the ones who have actually been involved, which I'm going to ask you later about the New World Order folk and that business. And
right.
And that's why I've heard that they now are not in our realm pretty much, and that's what
Abena just told me no reptilians really maintain contact with any Earth people at all, because they despise us. She told me they despise us, they want to kill us, they hate us, because we're like a, she told me exact, just the other night, she told me they see us as a blight on this planet, and they consider this planet theirs originally, because they were here first. And so, you know, there's this great hatred that they have for us, and that's why the reptilians have gotten this bad name and everything, is because they are bad, and they don't like us. We're different than them, and they see us different. She told me reptilians can grow 11 feet tall. She said, I mean, they're so strong they could crush an Earth human with their two hands. They're very, very strong. But anyway, the other point was spiritual awakening, any self-realization, practice, meditation, especially a deep form of meditation that people can get into is part of the protocol. In order to experience self-realization, experience that calm part, that eternal part of you, which can higher force, the higher powers, the God realm, the God force, the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And point three, the last one, was fundamental understanding of creation and its laws by already disseminated teachings, and that's pretty easy. People can look at Billy Meyer's contacts from Semyasi, from the Pleiades, and she's given some of the best enunciated and disseminated teaching on creation ever.
So Billy Meyer's disclosure of some of the protocols is pretty accurate then, what you're saying.
Some of it, yeah. Some of it, the religious part of it where he starts getting into about Jesus Christ and things like that, I really cannot swallow all that. And that remains to be seen whether that's true or not. I don't think it is.
Well, it sounds like opposite from what she, you just inferred what she had said, so.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people get some information and they sort of add on their own personification to it.
Exactly, and, you know, people will, even extraterrestrials, they're not perfect. I mean, they're still evolving like us. There's still trouble amongst them, and, you know, they have to watch out for things. And so not everything, you know, that they get at one time may be entirely 100% correct as far as knowledge goes, as far as understanding goes. It may change.
Let me ask you, because I know you're going to disclose a lot of stuff, because I want to get into that
right now.
And I know there's a bunch of questions I want to get you into.
All right.
One of the issues that I've been noticing, I mean, having studied it, what's pretty weird is the ideology, the prophecies of Ezekiel, which to me, I just recently did completed a film with my partner and with Amongst the Hopi, and I surprisingly, their belief system and their prophecy is identical to his. In seeing, reading Ezekiel is almost like saying he was actually being talking to an extraterrestrial. Almost like sounds like you talking, meeting with your comrade here. Do you, has this ever been discussed to you about that anything from the Bible, such as Ezekiel? Because like I said, it's too. Like with being in your now Ezekiel being disclosed, all this information, it sounds pretty similar. But I'm just curious if Ezekiel, if she said anything of the scriptures, what has said about back then, because it's now happening now.
Exactly, and not particularly with Abana yet, but she, like I said, when we get into deeper contact, I mean, we have closer contact, and she starts taking me, and we go for rides, and that's in these kinds of in-depth questions I'm going to ask her and get answers for. But in the meantime, I can refer to another extraterrestrial who's already spoken about this, and she happens to know Abana, this other extraterrestrial. Her name is Ramadas, or Rama, and she is a girl who lives on one of the moons of Jupiter, Ganymede. And they're an ancient race that is also from Orion, that originated in Orion, but they came to our solar system, and they first lived on the planet that got exploded between Mars and Jupiter. I think it was called Maldek or Melona, and now it's the asteroid belt. But they used to live on that planet, and then before it blew up, they migrated, and they inhabited Ganymede, one of the moons of Jupiter, and they have a super advanced colony in a race there on the moon of Jupiter. Anyway, she contacted a man named Charles Silva back in 1974 down in Acaya, Peru, and she disseminated all kinds of teachings about what you're saying about Ezekiel and how Ezekiel had contact with extraterrestrials, was even taken up, and Ezekiel actually mentions them in the book of Ezekiel, a wheel within a wheel.
Right.
And it was them. It was these extraterrestrials from Ganymede that had...
And what was his name? Or what was her? And what was this guy's name again that was the contact?
Charles Silva. S-I-L-V-A, Silva. And it was 1974, and he had written a book afterwards called Date with the Gods.
Huh.
People can still find it on Amazon.
That's ironic, because that's about just right after Chariot of the Gods book.
Yeah, it is. And she had mentioned the prophecies. She had said all these prophecies about Ezekiel and the Antichrist and Jesus Christ coming back to this earth and ruling it and destroying evil, destroying these satanic forces and powers that enslave the earth, which they are in, these demonic hordes. And they are the ones responsible for generating all the discord and all the chaos among humanity. And she said that these things are all very true, just like the Bible says. And
has she said anything about what's going on with the New World Order?
She had mentioned that. Yeah, she had mentioned. Well, back then she had meant. Oh, Benner or Rama.
Benner.
The New World Order. Well, she had told me about. Yeah, these secret forces. She said, "Yeah, all hate will be cleared. All hate and all evil in the world is going to be cleared." She said that's coming.
Did she give a time period?
After 2012.
Oh, so it starts at 2012.
The final ending of it will be a little after that. Probably simultaneous with the 7-year tribulation period, which Rama said will happen, the Antichrist.
Those who are going to hold on to all the hate and negativity and all that stuff, all the souls that are on this?
Well, these people are going to be totally deceived, according to the extraterrestrials, and the scriptures say that these people that want that are going to be given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie, and that lie is that man is his own God, and he can exalt himself to become his own God and his own Savior, and he doesn't need Jesus Christ, and he doesn't need extraterrestrials, he doesn't need any creational laws, any cosmic help higher than himself. And what the Antichrist is, or what he's going to embody, is this massive self-initiation into your own godhood, into your own deception. It's just going to be this deceitful, charismatic personality that says, "Oh, you really don't. We don't need Jesus. You don't need Christ. You don't need any salvation. It's all inside you, and you don't need a savior that was nailed to some cross to save you from anything." And this is where this the Antichrist.
It's sort of funny because it's almost like we're the ones we're waiting for. So basically, not having somebody who's actually keeping us separate and making us like we're that basically a very atheist mentality, which
exactly is what it is. It says he will exalt in the book of Daniel. It says the Antichrist will exalt himself above all gods and magnify himself, and he has an agenda, and he's going to appear as like,
maybe it's not a he, maybe it's just a basically a group.
It's partly a group. I mean, there's going to be a small group that he works with that's going to exalt him and bring him to power, but he's going to be like a Caesar. He's going to be like a latter-day little Caesar that is infatuated with himself, and, you know, he's going to be he's a skilled politician, first of all. He's going to have answers about solving the Palestinian problem with Israel and the conflict, and this is the whole root of the problem over there. And if I can give you a couple of people who may be ideal candidates to become the Antichrist, and the most strongest one that I would suggest who could be the Antichrist or become is Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of Britain. He happens to be the EU diplomat, chief European Union diplomat to solve.
Wow, you're not the first one who just said that. Somebody else just told me that a while ago, or for any last couple of days.
Heavily behind the scenes involved with solving the Israeli and the Palestinian crisis.
What has been disclosed to you by Venus as far as the relationship, or has she disclosed to you? But the situation, getting into that, with not just with the New World Order bullshit and Israel and the Iranian, the Middle East, Asia, Europe, and so on, so South America, has she disclosed to you they anticipate that they're what's going to happen? Or she disclosed to you what's going to envelop or what?
None of that. We've really not got into that right yet, and I, like, we're waiting, and, you know, for our contact. I can ask her, you know, down the line here, and we'll find out a little bit more about that, which she sees and thinks. But we know, I mean, Rama has already said that these things are going to happen, and, I mean, the way the Bible says they're going to happen. And okay. Prophecy is going to be fulfilled.
She confirmed what Rama had said, that basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. So she's basically confirmed what Rama had said.
Okay. She told me she's good, very good friends with Rama. She knows Rama.
Okay, so they got... Oh, okay, now I got... So I'm trying to get a picture here now. So what Rama had said, disclosed about the politics of humanity, is pretty well thing. So basically, we really should check out that thing by Charles Silva and find out what he had disclosed back in 1974 with what information that she had disclosed. Is she a she, by the way, or Rama?
Rama is a she, yes.
Yeah, to her. Now, let me ask you, what has now...
I had met Rama had met me, too. I'd like to say that Rama, after I learned about her,
yeah.
She had met me once back in 1993. I had several brief encounters with her. She came by and just let me know it was her and her girlfriend. And then Abena told me the girlfriend was her cousin that Rama was with that day that I had seen here. They came down several times. I saw them at... I saw them at the supermarket one day. I saw them on the bus line one day, train line. They were like following me around. I knew it. And then Abena told me her girlfriend with her was her cousin. And
this time they're just checking you out, keeping a watch on you. Basically, what you're saying.
Yeah. Now Abena's told me that she's been monitoring me for 30 years.
What did Abena disclose to you that you felt so compelled that you needed to come on air to disclose?
Oh, right. Let's get to that. Since about January in 2010, she started bringing her ship in very close, much closer, and revealing the tachyon core, coming in almost, she's come in almost every single week. I've gotten video almost every single week since January of her craft coming in the same exact position in the sky over the same area where I film at least once a week. And she's brought it in closer, and some of the video is really astonishing. I mean, she really reveals, the tachyon core, pulsing, shimmering light, and revealed part of the triangular outline of the ship. I included a few photos in my update packet that I sent you, my email. And all the videos are up. People just have to go to my YouTube channel and check them out from like January down, or backwards from June down.
And what information she has she disclosed to you? Besides, obviously showing her coming closer and with a different ship.
Right. Well, revealing to me their name, you know, what they're called from the star Letus and all, where they're from now.
Right.
Before I'd never, I mean, she just told me very kindly, we're from like, she told me the belt stars, Brian, but I didn't ask her, she didn't tell me exactly where. So recently she's been telling me more exact things. She's been revealing a lot of technical stuff to me about her ship and various things like that. She's revealed to me their base, how their underground base around here in Orange County extends for 24 miles.
Wow. And what about the government? They're sort of kept off bay?
They have very, very... The government knows about them. And... But they know that they're not allowed down into their base. Only certain select personnel from the military and certain other, like I said, the brigade and a few other, like maybe physicists, people like that. Some of these people are allowed down into their base on occasion.
And what reverse technology are you aware of that they have disclosed?
What's that?
What reverse technology are you aware of that they've disclosed to humans?
Well, she told me they gave the brigade a design for a small reconnaissance ship, and they weren't able to fully construct it because they didn't give them all the total knowledge of it. But she told me that there is such a craft that they have called the Aurora or something similar. And she told me it can travel at the speed of light, but only for 7 hours. They don't have all the secrets like the ETs do about everything yet. And it's not just being handed to them by any ETs that they may get. In fact, the brigade can be quite challenging and quite annoying to them. And sometimes, you know, they challenge them and they try to attack them actually with the technique, because the brigade, they get their hands on technology, crashed alien discs or things like that, and they develop certain technology that, and they can actually start skirmishes with the aliens.
Why would the Orions give them technology if they know that they're going to be vindictive, you know, very selfish with it?
Well, this was years ago. I'm talking, 30 years ago. Now they're much more educated about it, and they're much more wary about what they give. In fact,
I forgot to bring this up. Has she said anything to you about the relationship with the grays that have been visiting, and some people even seen their oranges? Ones are sort of like grays, but they're orange.
She told me the grays, there's several different ones. There's some that are from the Zeta Reticulum constellation, and they're generally pretty nice. She said it's the ones that were from Orion. They are not from Orion now. They are outcasts, she told me. They're outcasts from Orion. And she told me there's a certain section of those grays that are actually clones. And they're slaves to the reptilians.
Oh, I gotcha.
And they're in link with reptilians. And they're just generally very evil. And they're just pests.
Now, what about, I've heard information about certain hybrid activity going on where they're hybriding extraterrestrials with humans. Is that true?
Hybrid? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Go ahead, because you were going to start divulging that. That's how my question was.
Yeah, that is kind of true. I mean, certain aliens and are doing that, especially the reptilians from like Draco.
Oh, so the reptilians are trying to do that.
Yeah, and certain grays. Certain grays, their race is atrophying, is settled in. They're atrophying. Their body is screwed up, and so they like to experiment, and they like to mix genes, and they like to splice and do all kinds of things like this and that to try and produce a new race. In fact, there's one race from Orion that's trying to do that, a gray race.
What about the physical relationship between Orions, the Orion factions that you spoke of with, like, such as the Abena, are they able to... have a physical, like, not saying her, but any of them would have a physical relationship in the future with, does she see in sort of like what she has had, obviously her parents with Pleiades, does she see that happening in the future with humans?
She's
never probably brought that up.
She hasn't brought that up with me yet, but she has said that there are starseed, or there are people here from their race that have lived with them previously, and
starseed meaning like their souls are not from this planet, but are from their planet that are now in the embodiments of humans.
Exactly. That's real. That's happening. It may not be as big as a lot of people make it up, but there's a lot of starseeds from different different planets that have lived with extraterrestrials before, from like the Pleiades, Orion, Zeta, different places. Yeah, that's real. That's very real.
And those people, some people call those the wanderers, or they're being reawakened, because they may have lived here a lifetime after lifetime.
Some of them, and some of them are being chastised. Well, they fall to, if they can't live up to a certain thing within that race of those people, they lose their justification to stay there, so they have to come down to a lower state.
If you screwed up, we're not letting you come back until you make up for what you did.
Yeah, it's like staying back. It's like staying back in school.
You learn
something.
Right. I got you.
If you get an F, you got to go back, and if you fail, you got to go back and study and get it right until you understand it. Then you can pass.
Did she say that you are perhaps maybe yourself as a starseed?
Yeah, she told me, I definitely lived with them before in Orion, and that's real. That's happened. I have no knowledge of it yet. I guess at some point it could happen. I could, you know, get regressed and things like that.
And find out back then there the commonality of some things still, because you don't ever lose a memory. I mean, it's always attached to you, you know. But I mean, we just reawaken it, sort of blocked from us on this side, but on the other side, I guess it's actually rediscovered.
And we can get flashes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What about the other issue? Like, so basically, the disclosure is like she's been basically coming, you're more akin to her technology, to their kinship. She's been coming closer in contact with you as far as flights, that she's getting ready to prepare you to go on a ship within the next couple, several months, and coming months.
Several months, yeah.
And then preparing you. Now, and then you have to, I guess, study on learning the code, so to speak. So you're being indoctrinated to what culturally you're supposed to say and not say it, because it sounds almost like Star Trek. Like, you got to know who the captain of the ship and proper protocol actually to talk and be with certain people at certain.
The code is like I was saying. The code is a little bit different than the protocol. The code, basically, what it is briefly is just so I know how to. I know what to expect when I'm there and how to behave, carry myself a little better, you know, as they carry themselves.
Right, I got you. Basically, so, you know, you're out of the dining table and don't, you know, get all.
Hello?
But,
Yeah.
What their initial plans are with humanity at all?
Do I know? She hasn't mentioned it.
Why are they here?
They're underground base. They're here because they have certain rights to be here, and they're down under the ground there, and they're extracting precious minerals that are deep under the earth that the Creator has allowed them to have access to. And it's a highly industrial area, I was told.
So they're just basically here to utilize some material form, and then at the same time maybe be the helping hand to one of the helping hands for humanity?
Both of those things. The creator has given them that right. And so in a sense they're earthlings, in a sense. I mean,
yeah,
they're
so
living here. No, yeah.
But what helping hand are they doing for us with humanity?
Well, some of the stuff I can reveal, I mean, they intervene on occasion in politics or in certain things that the governments of the world are desire to do to one another, and they'll intervene and follow that up somehow. They'll sabotage it.
Like somebody when they think of becoming nuclear.
Yeah, that or something even less abrasive, I mean less destructive, even that, you know, littler things. It's all what they're allowed to do, and they will do it. They'll foul it up, and so it won't happen.
Wow.
And this could get me in trouble. I don't know if I should have said this now.
Yeah. Okay, we won't go in too much into it, because I guess it seems like when you get permission to disclose that material. Now, let me ask you this, and this, I guess, this is a lot, we're coming to a head here, but what do you anticipate their full disclosure, that extra, they and other thresholds will have full disclosure that we're humanity will say, yes, here we are, you know, and including the government will not be able to stop it, or media, mainstream media, here we are, we're extraterrestrials, we're being on your planet. When will this become just a common phenomena? Just as like, you know, well, we have immigrants living here. Okay, we have actual extraterrestrials living here too. So what?
Well, they're already taking it into their hands. As you can see, their sightings all over the world are increasing, and people are getting it. You know, anybody can, like, you know, get video. Lots of people are getting video of different various extraterrestrial craft. And the extraterrestrials are stepping up the sightings because they want their presence known. And that is going to just be like an avalanche. And the weight of it is, the people that want it suppressed, the weight of it is just going to be able, it's going to crush those people. It's going to crush their incentive to keep it closed, to keep it back. And those people are no.
So they're purposely trying to push the bill. Why didn't they just, they themselves just go, here we are, like, here we are on CNN, or land on the White House and say, here we are?
Well, that would cause, I mean, they could do that. In fact, they've tried to do that before. They've contacted our officials, and the officials have said it would cause total chaos. And it would. It would cause probably mass hysteria with a lot of people. But considering the way we are now, you know, the way the economy is and all this kind of thing, and a lot of people might be much more open to it now, for that, actually welcoming it. I mean, the aliens, if we had listened to what one alien group from Venus wanted to do for us back in the 60s, America would probably look a lot different than it would right now if our president would have listened to what this alien had told him and what he advised and suggested the country, United States of America, should do. America would be a very, very different place today if we had only listened. If we were given a chance over 50 years ago, we were given a chance by this extraterrestrial race, and they were going to help us. They were going to give us all kinds of things, medicine, new medicine type things, and all kinds of things. But our president turned it down back then. I think it was Eisenhower, I forget which one it was. So, you know, they tried, and they are still trying to help us, and they help us behind the scenes. But the main help that we're going to get is going to be coming from the return of Jesus Christ to this planet. And the Messiah, in other words, written, spoken of by many ancient prophecies in the Bible. He is the one appointed to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace. In the book of Isaiah, he's known as the Prince of Peace, the wonderful God, and the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Angel of the Lord. This is the personage that will bring the kind of emancipation the human race really longs, really wants, may not understand it, but really wants it. They may not understand why they need it now, but once the troubles get increased here on the planet in the next few years, people are going to be crying out for liberation, for salvation, because it's going to get really bad. I mean, we're already feeling the suppression economically. And that's all programmed too by the powers that be. They're doing this to prime us for their leader, the beast or the Antichrist that they're going to put up into power, who's going to
make him look like the savior. Basically,
that's right, and make him look like the little economic savior, the heroic social savior. You know, and it's going to be very deceptive. It's going to look very good. It's going to be very tempting.
They're going to make everybody look. They're going to look like they've been saved because economically, all of a sudden, everybody be fine. But it's like feeding candy to the kid, and it's not real phony candy.
Exactly.
And cavities afterward.
Exactly.
You know.
And the Bible act, the scripture says he comes with all deceivableness, deception, yeah, of unrighteousness.
Because I almost feel that it's not just a person. I feel it's like
it's a spirit.
In Hebrew, yeah. See, I don't think it's a one person in particular. I think it's almost like an entity. Because like in Hebrew, it's always used in he can be they, in references with the prophecies that you're talking about.
And right. It's a spirit.
Even the Mashiach is not necessarily a person. It's a Mashiach or the Messiah is actually a spirit of age. So it's sort of like you can come Davidic, which means of out of war, or you come out of Joseph, out of peace. But there will be one way or other will be into the Masonic era, which is basically the same thing as people talk of the Messianic era is the same era as just like whatever you believe, Revelations or in Isaiah or whatever books.
Yeah, even the Muslims believe in an Imam.
Yeah, and it's actually the era of the beginning. As Ezekiel says, the beginning of ends of days, which is happening right now. So
that's right.
I look forward to you. Please do contact me when you're allowed to disclose the information that you are on your ship. I'd be happy just as soon as you can, if it's 3 months, 2 months, 4 months, whatever.
Whenever,
you contact me when you're allowed, and you're allowed to disclose the information, because obviously certain things you're not allowed to disclose for obvious reasons, too. Please come back and discuss this, because I'd like to hear more, because it seems like we got a little like pre-preparation of it. But before I go, because I know we're way ahead, but please disclose how people can raise their frequencies for, this is also important to you, just not just for contacting extraterrestrials. I've discussed this many times, increasing your frequency, because our area is raising itself. But you had a methodology. I use mine, or many people, but you have a very simplified one that's actually that you can just basically listen to kind of music that raises your frequency physiologically as well as spiritually. And you disclosed that before. First of all, what is it, and how can people contact that? And then please do give your contact information and how to contact you, and check out your sightings information, please.
Sure. All right, about what you just said about the raising your brainwaves to alpha and theta and delta. Now, there's a special music created by Dr. Jeffrey Thompson of neuroacoustic.com. That's neuroacoustic.com/meditation.html. Just go to neuroacoustic.com, check out the discs on meditation. There's parts there you can play, brief clips that you can play to hear this music on, that will get you into alpha, beta, and delta brainwave rates. The music is really phenomenal, especially created by this researcher, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson. And it will entrain your brainwaves into those states. And this, when you get into these states, you begin to relax, and you begin to touch the life force of the Holy Spirit, which is as flowing as a stream everywhere, as a river of fire, as a river of life. And you can begin to touch that and enter into that stream with your brain, your mind. And that way you can attain peace of mind, liberation. That's highly recommended. So I recommend people go to neuroacoustic.com, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson. Just do a search on Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, Alpha Theta Meditations, and you will come to that and be able to hear excerpts, clips of his clips on his site.
And
the other site,
and how to contact you.
How to contact me.
And check out your website and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube, so if people want to check me out, just type in, just do a Google search on Orion Nepho or Orion Contactee. That's all one word, Orion Contactee. And that's my YouTube channel name, Orion Contactee, and that'll bring you right to my YouTube channel. And my other website, and you can find links on my channel to all my three other pages. One is Orion IFOs Research. That's Orion IFOs Research. That's my major site. The other one is a Pine Bush Zone. And I have a MySpace page called Orion IFOs Research as well. But you'll find all those links on my Orion Contactee YouTube channel. So if you just do a search on Google for Orion Contactee, you'll find the links to my other sites. You'll find all the videos there you can check out, and you can read about my stuff on my other sites. You can read about my contacts. I have a lot of information there, pictures, photo albums. You can check out my sightings of these triangular craft.
Phil, I want to thank you for coming on my show once again. I mean, a lot of this information has been rehashed, but it was because a lot of people haven't heard of you. You know, I have a lot of new listeners who probably haven't heard of you. Do listen. I'll go back if you want. I have several past shows through the archives and as well as this one. And do check out Phil's site. And, Phil, once again, it's been an honor to have you on my show, and I look forward to having you again when you have the more information, and especially after your enlightened experience that I see that you'll be having with flying on a ship and with the Orions. I mean, that's got to be something else in itself. Without any ado, you might be all lit up after that. I once again thank you very much, and I will close with a very esteemed artist, Ruby Freeman Orchestra. She, with her song Shooting Stars, and she's playing out here in the famous Troubadour, I believe, on next week on the 21st. So go see her. Should be quite heavy and great. Shooting Star, Ruby Freeman. And thank you all. God bless you, and have a glorious, glorious week and weekend. Love and light. Thank you. Asune.